This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
This from Operation Rescue. Gathered around a spray of pink and white flowers that held a photo of deceased Ohio resident Lakeisha Wilson, state and national pro-life leaders conducted a press conference on Wednesday, April 2nd, outside Preterm, the Cleveland abortion clinic where Wilson recently died. The leaders made a unified call to the Ohio Department of Health to suspend Preterm's abortion facility license pending a full investigation. At the same time, unbeknownst to the participants, officials from the Ohio Department of Health were inside the facility conducting a preliminary investigation. In further developments, Molly Smith of Cleveland Right to Life informed the crowd that Governor John Kasich has been asked to instruct the Attorney General's office to investigate Wilson's death due to concerns that her abortion may have been done illegally. It is now also being reported that Wilson was 5 months pregnant at the time of her abortion on March 21st. The legal limit for abortions in Ohio is 20 weeks gestation. In other news, a man who was known to serve as a sidewalk counselor near one of the abortion clinics in Indianapolis was recently killed. Nathan Trapuzano was shot in the abdomen, apparently while out for his usual morning walk on Tuesday, April 1st. Police are looking for two suspects, but no identifying information was given as of this recording. We will do our best to keep you informed in the coming weeks.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. President Barack Obama, the first sitting president to address Planned Parenthood Federation of America, issued a proclamation on Monday marking National Child Abuse Prevention Month. But in a bit of irony, his proclamation reads, "In the United States of America, every child should have every chance in life, every chance at happiness, and every chance at success." In March of 2003, then an Illinois state senator, Obama chaired the committee that considered the Born Alive Infants Protection Bill, which he voted to kill. According to the National Right to Life Committee, the state legislation that Obama voted against is almost identical to the federal legislation that protects children who survive an abortion that became law in 2002. And last April, Obama became the first sitting president to address Planned Parenthood at its annual gala. There's more online at afain.net.
Now we bring you an interview Kathy Humbarger recorded in February with Monica Kelsey of Living Exceptions and Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation and AdoptedAndLoved.com.
Ryan, we've talked about some of the reasons that you're adamantly pro-life, and we've talked about the Radiance Foundation. I'd like to venture into some more controversial areas, if we could. This may be my last program. I will just announce that to the listeners in case I step over the line, because we are going to encourage Ryan to share truth, as you did with those at lunch today. Ryan, if you would start by naming some of the national organizations that our listeners may be surprised have a relationship with Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider, not only in the country, but in the state of Indiana.
Well, why don't we start with one very respected group, works with a lot of our young girls, the Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts of the United States it's an amazing organization, scouting program. My sisters were Girl Scouts, learned a whole lot. Of course, back then, what they were learning is not what a lot of these girls are learning today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we work with former troop leaders and former Girl Scouts who have been exposing the relationship between Girl Scouts and big abortion, aka Planned Parenthood, for a long time, and it is disturbing to say the least. What many people don't realize, Girl Scouts USA is a major member and major funder of the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts. They fund that organization millions of dollars, and they're the majority of the members of that organization. WAGS, that's the acronym for it, is radically pro-abortion. They developed a document called the Bally Global Youth Declaration Forum. And in this forum, it's such a disturbing document. Every parent should look it up. In fact, you can find it on our website, radiancefoundation.org/cookiecot. That's COOKIECOTT. And this declaration actually demands that any country that's involved with the UN, every single government involved with the UN, needs to legalize prostitution and decriminalize all abortion and remove any kind of parental law that allows a parent to be involved in their minor's major decision about abortion. So all parental notification, consent, all of it scrapped. This is WAGS. This is Girl Scouts USA funding this. They have books, their Journeys books, that shine the light on radically pro-abortion individuals like Gloria Steinem, Hillary Clinton, Betty Friedan, who also was the founder, many people don't realize, founder of the National Organization for Women. She is also one of the co-founders of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. Of course, they go by a different name now, NARAL Pro-Choice America. Sounds so nice and innocuous, but it's not. She was also a board member of Girl Scouts USA that maintains to this day they've never taken a position on abortion and they have no relationship with Planned Parenthood. So people need to really find out this information. Our article on our website details all the incredible documentation. It's disturbing that our young girls are being exposed to this radical pro-abortion, anti-family propaganda.
Now, Ryan, I don't want to hear this because I have granddaughters that have been involved in scouting and they have had a wonderful experience at the local level. What do you say to folks who say, yes, but my Girl Scout troop isn't involved in this?
The thing is, people don't really realize what the parent organization is involved in, or they're not willing to look. And that's what's important. What they don't realize is sometimes their girls go to these events. For instance, Girl Scouts of Southwest Texas, where Ana Maria Chavez, who is now the current CEO of Girl Scouts, was the CEO of that particular council. And she had a day at the Capitol, and it was a partnership with some radically pro-abortion groups, including Planned Parenthood. And these girls are going to these events, unbeknownst to the parent, and not realizing what their girls are being exposed to. There are other conferences. There are, UN events that these girls are going to as part of Girl Scouts USA and part of WAGS and being exposed to radical ideology. On the local level, it's very hard because there are a lot of councils who don't have anything to do with Planned Parenthood, but there are many who do, and in ways that we're not even aware of. But the Journeys booklets are booklets that all councils and all troops have.
Wow.
And I would really encourage a parent to look through these books. Look at the women that are being extolled in these books, and you will find that not one of them is being extolled for having a pro-life worldview, that many of them are extremely liberal, extremely pro-abortion, and that should be of concern to parents.
Share that website one more time where we can go to get more information. The Radiance Foundation.
Radiancefoundation.org /.
Just Radiance.
Right. Okay. Radiancefoundation.org/cookiecot.
Okay. And there's a wealth of information on the RadianceFoundation.org website.
Yes.
So that's your general website, and this is a subset of that.
Yes.
Okay. And I know you won't mind my saying this, Ryan, because we've gotten to know each other over the last several months since you visited us here in Indiana back in October. But this is radio, and people who are listening won't possibly know that you are as Black as the President of the United States. So I wanted to say that as we talk about another national organization, and that's the NAACP, you have an opportunity to speak to the minority population in a way that others can't. So talk a little bit about the NAACP.
Right. And that fact that you just stated there, though, is sad commentary on our country, by the way. We need to be way past that whole issue of who can speak. Is your pigmentation dark enough for you to be able to address this group and that group? Honestly, we'll never get to that post-racial point in our country.
But it's the reality. Yes.
It is. So I am half white, half Black, and I often say that that just simply makes me American.
That's right.
But I do address the issue. When I was a child, I had a lot of respect for the NAACP. My mom had me read all kinds of books on Black American history, and I'm really grateful to my mom. She's an avid reader, and she's also the one who taught me how to write and have a passion for writing. And so when I wrote this article about the NAACP and about their radical, undeniable pro-abortion actions, I listed all the documentation, much of it from their own website, by the way. Let's just say that they didn't have a positive response to it. The article was entitled the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. And here I was laying out how they have these ties with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, for instance, who's a corporate sponsor of the NAACP. How the president of NAACP, the former president now, Benjamin Jealous, was a featured speaker at Planned Parenthood of Southeast Georgia. Featured speaker, but they have no relationship with Planned Parenthood. They haven't taken a position on abortion. In fact, you could purchase a ticket to hear Ben Jealous at this event. There are different tiers of tickets, and one of them was the Margaret Sanger Circle ticket. For $1,000, you could go hear NAACP President Ben Jealous at a Planned Parenthood, but they've not taken a position on abortion. So anyway, they're now suing us for trademark infringement, trademark dilution, and trademark confusion because we have parodied their name. We have called them out for the action that they irrefutably support. Mm-hmm. They're pro-abortion and they're in denial. So now they have spent, I don't know how much I can say, but they have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight a small little nonprofit for calling them out.
Wow. Well, all I can say is you must be being effective or they would just...
Leave us alone.
Exactly. So continue being the rock and the shoe of the nation, Ryan. I've been in this pro-life fight for over 30 years. And that's probably longer than you've been born. So we'll just, you don't have to
I'm
answer that.
A little older than that.
Okay. Not much, I would bet. But in any event, we have been attempting to share this information with our African-American brothers and sisters, because as our listeners hopefully know from, if they're regular listeners to this program, they understand that the African-American community is adversely impacted more than the white community or any other community by the abortion scourge that is on the soul of our nation. So this is so encouraging for me to hear the work that you are doing at a national level to bring leaders together to speak the truth and push back a little bit on what has been crammed down our throats all these years. Tell us a little bit about that coalition.
Well, you know, a few years ago when the Radiance Foundation is young. I mean, we began in 2009. In 2010, we launched our first public ad campaign, one that had never been done before. And it was a billboard campaign that highlighted the disproportionate impact of abortion in the black community. So the first billboard said, "Black children are an endangered species, too many aborted.com, more endangered by death by abortion than any other racial demographic." Mm-hmm. In fact, today, up to five times more. And so we were the first ones to launch a campaign like that, and the response was unbelievable. But in the course of that, it was amazing to hear mainstream media, you know, USA Today, MSNBC, LA Times, New York Times, deride us, call us racist, which is just insane. But that's mainstream media. There's no mm-hmm. connection with logic and reality there oftentimes.
Water only flows one way for
yeah.
them.
I mean, but we found across the nation that there are leaders in different fields, medical experts, legal experts, civil rights leaders like Dr. Alveda King, who shared the same passion. In fact, they endorsed our TooManyAborted.com campaign. And so what we did in order to respond to the media is we created the National Black Pro-Life Coalition to respond to the often deeply racist accusations from mainstream media and dispel the myth that somehow the black community embraces the destruction of children under the name of, you know, reproductive justice. And so we've been able to make some inroads. It's very hard when you have billions and billions of dollars against you, whether you're black or whether you're white. I mean, abortion is a tragedy no matter the race, mm-hmm. but it's been particularly difficult in the black community because you have so many who have bought onto, you know, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, bought onto her ideology, helped to promote birth control as some sort of savior sort of approach in the black community that was going to reduce poverty. It's never reduced poverty. It's reduced people, but it's not reduced poverty. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of obstacles, but we're encouraged by some of the gradual change in the right direction and people embracing a pro-life worldview.
Well, I am delighted to hear that, because for too long, this has been a white Republican issue put in a political box. And it is, there may be a facet to it that is political and we must fight this in the public policy arena. But this is anything but a white Republican issue.
It's a human rights issue.
Exactly. It's a human rights issue of our day. And I think that's why we're seeing so many young faces join this fight for life, because they see it for what it is. My generation messed it up, and we're looking to your generation and the one coming up behind you to make this right again. And I am just so encouraged. This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you today, and our very special guests are Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation and Monica Kelsey from the Living Exceptions organization, a brand new ministry that you've started. Monica, thank you so much for being with us. And you and Ryan have some common bonds.
Well, you know, Ryan's mother chose life just like my mother did. We were both conceived out of a horrible act. And by the grace of God, our mothers chose to give us life. And we're both here because our mothers were so strong and so selfless. And both placed us, his mother and my mother also placed us up for adoption, which to me has been the greatest gift that I've ever received on top of my life.
And of course, the horrible act that you're talking about is the act of rape.
Correct.
And we in no way want to hold rape out as God's way of bringing children into the world or anything like that. It is a horrible, despicable, egregious act of violence against women. But yet, when a baby is the result of it, we must separate the vicious attack of rape from this brand new human life. Monica, I've learned from you a remarkable statistic, and that's 60% of those of us who identify ourselves as pro-life, and quite honestly, we feel very, very strongly about our pro-life position, still hold a rape and incest exception. Why do you think that is? And I'll throw that out to both of you.
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they hear that a woman has been raped, their immediate emotions go to the woman. And of course, we need to love the woman. We need to pray with the woman. We need to direct this woman into healing. We cannot forget that there's an innocent child that's life hangs in the balance. We need to learn how to love them both. And unfortunately, pro-lifers, their hearts are in the right place. They want to feel for the woman. And I hear it a lot. So you think your mother should have been made to carry you to term? And if you're pro-life and you're asking me this question, I think I need to be asking you that question as well, because if you already value the life of the child, why aren't you valuing my life mm-hmm. as well? And unfortunately, like you said, 60% of pro-lifers say I'm pro-life except, and my organization, Living Exceptions, is trying to change that. We don't want people to say I'm pro-life except. We want people to understand that my life has value just like anyone else's life has
right.
value.
Right. And interestingly enough, those of you who've had the opportunity to get to know Monica either on this program or personally know that she's a firefighter and an EMT. So your whole life is about saving lives.
Born and unborn, Kathy.
Wonderful.
Born and unborn.
Wonderful. Ryan, do you have anything to add to what Monica said?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, unfortunately, in our society, we throw out abortion as the natural follow-up to mm-hmm. such a horrific act. And what I found across the country and actually, you know, traveling outside of the country, speaking about the issue, I've met a lot of rape survivors and their stories are so incredible. And what I found is that many of them consider the child the only redeeming part of such a horrific experience. Mm-hmm. And that's been the case. In fact, there's only one study of its kind that I'm aware of on rape-related pregnancy. And in that study, 50% of women choose abortion, but 33.2% choose to carry their pregnancy to term and parent a child, and another 5.9% choose adoption. And you would think that those numbers would be far lower, that more women would choose abortion. And the reality is many of them don't, because the child is often seen as the redeemable part mm-hmm. of something that tried to bring destruction into her life. I mean, that's what a rapist does. I mean, we don't talk about the punishment of the rapist. I mean, so few times, particularly those who consider themselves pro-choice, they don't talk about what we should do to punish the rapist. All they're concerned about is what can we do to destroy the child. And in destroying that child, I think we destroy part of the healing. And I think what Monica's story and my story represent, and many thousands of us, because there are over 38,000 rape-related pregnancies every year, what we represent is another side of the story.
Right.
And to say that beauty can still rise from that tragedy, and it happens all the time. We just want to share with others that there is beautiful possibility, even in those of us who were radically unplanned.
Women always, you know, when the initial shock of finding out you're pregnant after a horrible circumstance, my birth mother said it perfectly, I just wanted my life back. And understandably so.
Right.
But understanding also that their life is never going to be the same, whether they terminate the pregnancy or carry the pregnancy to term. You know, my birth mother had no more children after me.
Wow.
She placed me up for adoption, you know, and then meeting her 37 years later, she said, you know, it's amazing how something so beautiful came out of something so horrible. And, you know, it's the healing part, you know, her being able to see what I've done with my life brought her hope.
Wow, what an incredible, incredible testimony. And I know you both feel just as strongly about adoption. Ryan, you were adopted into a family of 15, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Tiny little family.
You probably looked like the UN, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Tell us a little bit about your family and what your personal encouragement to people listening might be in regard to adoption.
Well, adoption is a beautiful thing. There are a lot of things that adoption unleashes. It unleashes, you know, love. It unleashes hope. It unleashes justice. And it unleashes purpose. And in my family, 15, I have 6 brothers, 6 sisters, 10 of us are adopted. We are the tangible examples of possibility realized. because two parents who simply just loved, they didn't listen to the world saying these kids are unwanted, they're never going to be loved, they're never going to amount to anything. They just shattered all those myths of the unwanted child and loved us all. So having grown up in an environment with so much love, with so much grace and mercy and understanding, and two awesome parents who had to deal with 13 teenagers. If you can survive that.
How many bathrooms did you have in your house, Brian?
One and a half.
Not enough.
Especially if you have six sisters, you need about six bathrooms. But I mean, growing up was a very unique experience, but what adoption really taught me is that anything is possible. And when we, especially as a Christian, where it shouldn't even be second nature, it should be first nature. Mm-hmm. There is no salvation without adoption. And so we have to relook at this. And so many churches, unfortunately, don't even bother to look at adoption and consider, you know, stepping in and being that hope for mm-hmm. that child or for the, like in and our family, those children.
And being support for those families. Right. I'm the mother of two adopted little girls, and they're not so little anymore. They're 30 and 32, but they have been a wonderful blessing in my life. And I am so grateful to their moms for giving them life, even though they had some very difficult circumstances at the beginning of their lives. And to your point of separating the baby from the act of rape in which you were both conceived, did your adoptive parents know about the circumstances of your birth, either one of you?
Yes, my parents knew. In fact, they had tried to explain it to me throughout the years, and I didn't fully understand it until I was 13. Mm. That was kind of devastating because, you know, teenage years, those normally tumultuous years. Hey, by the way, I'm going to rewrite your whole narrative. She had thought that she had conveyed it to me in a way that I understood it, but I did not understand until a conversation we had at 13. But yes, they were aware of those details. And it's amazing when, and that's part of prayer. That's part of your relationship with God, understanding what things to say and how to say them to mm-hmm. your children, whether they're adopted or not. I have four and I'm praying all the time about God giving me the right words and the right approach. But I think my parents handled all of our unique situations differently and effectively. Mm-hmm. And at that time at 13, I used that, channeled that confusion and that pain into a persuasion speech in eighth grade, which was about abortion. Wow. And it was the first time that I fully understood how miraculous my own life was and that story and the courage of my birth mom and the gratitude that I have to this day. I've not met her, but unlike you, one day when if I ever do meet her, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Words won't be enough. There'll be a lot of ugly crying and I'll have to leave it at that, I guess. And just such thankfulness.
Wonderful. A wonderful story. And just a little alert to our listeners that in just a few minutes, we're going to be giving you resources and several websites. So you might want to grab a pencil and paper as we wrap up before we completely run out of time, though. Monica, tell us about your adoptive family. I know your mom and dad are very precious to you.
I can't imagine life without my adoptive parents. They've been my rock through all of this because they didn't know. They were told when I was adopted that my birth mother was young and she knew she couldn't care for me, so she placed me up for adoption. And when I finally reconnected with my birth mother at 37 and learned the horrible details, I don't think I was equipped to hear it at 37. So I know at 13, I would have never been able to handle it. You know, mm-hmm. 13, I was, you know, into softball and cheerleading, and that would have just wrecked my whole world back then. And how you have dealt with it all these years, I still feel myself dealing with it on a regular basis. The hardest part for me was forgiving my birth father. That was the hardest part for me. But for my adoptive parents to be behind me standing there, it's been a true blessing. And of course, my husband, he was with me the day that she told us. Mm. He was with me the day that she died. And it's such a blessing that I got to know her. But my parents are my adoptive parents.
Exactly. You
know, she was my birth mother, but my parents are my adoptive parents.
And I think this is a wonderful illustration of how something so devastating for your biological mother was a blessing for your adopted family. So you were the same baby. Nothing changed about you other than your location. So right. If anyone, you know, you never know when you're going to need this information. You may, God forbid, find yourself in a situation where either you or one of your loved ones has been the victim of one of these horrible rape attacks. And should a baby be the result of that, know that the baby is separate from the horrible crime of rape, because this baby can bring and will bring so much joy to the heart of either the biological mother that decides to parent or, in both of your cases, to an adoptive family. We just cannot say it enough. We must begin to see the reality that we cannot continue to say we're pro-life except for. Any final thoughts, Ryan?
You know, we often look at the issue of life and we have our parameters. And when we talk about the dignity of human life, we have to remember that even the 1% like Monica and I should never be used to justify 100% of abortions. And there is incredible possibility that God emblazons on every single one of us the moment of conception. And I think pro-lifers kind of need to be reminded of that and understand and take the initiative to hear and watch these stories. They are powerful stories. And it just may change your mind.
You have some of those posted on your website?
Yes. If you go to theradiancefoundation.org, you can find out more about my own personal story and other stories. And we have, of course, our adoptedandloved.com website. And it has incredible stories of families who just pour their lives out and help unleash beautiful purpose.
And
well,
can our listeners reach you through either one of those websites? Do you have a way that they can contact you?
Yes. If you just go on the website, theradiancefoundation.org, easy way to contact us, whether online or email us at info@theradiancefoundation.org. But plenty of ways to get in touch with us and plenty of ways to help share this content, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever, to share these beautiful stories and what we love celebrating, which is beautiful possibility.
And I have been on your website. It's a treasure trove. Give both those websites one more time where they can get more information about adoption and more information about the Radiance Foundation.
Okay. Our general website is theradiancefoundation.org. You can find out everything about us and the billboard campaigns and the programs that we have initiated. And you can also find out more about adoption specifically on our adoptedandloved.com website and find out stories from adoptees sharing their perspective. It's pretty simple, of how they've been adopted and loved.
Wonderful. And that might be a bit easier to remember than Googling Ryan Baumbarger.
Yes. Oh, that you could. And you get some crazy responses there, too. But don't believe that stuff. Just go to theradiancefoundation.org.
Okay, great. Wonderful. And Monica, I know you have a brand new website and Facebook page as well.
Yes, it's livingexceptions.com. And our Facebook page is just Living Exceptions. And there's a lot of information there on our ministry, Pam Stenzel and I, and Christy Hoffenberger.
Wonderful. Thank you so much to Ryan Baumbarger for being with us. And to Monica Kelsey again for being our guest. God bless you both as you continue to be on the tip of the spear. And I just pray that he would just open doors wide for you that you can't even imagine. Thanks to our listeners for joining us today. We look forward to talking with you again next week. And may the Lord bless you in between.
If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to ichooselife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.